Welcome back to Adventures of a Hot Wife, featuring me, sexy soccer mom, and hot soccer daddy. And today on the podcast, we have the lovely, the beautiful, the very classy, sexy librarian joining us. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's such a pleasure to be here.
We are so happy to have you all the way from Canada, if we're allowed to say that.
Yes, absolutely.
That's so
awesome. I'm a northern
awesome.
Flower, as I like to say.
All right, we've gone international now.
Yes, I know, our first right. International.
Woo! Am I your first international? Oh, I feel so honored.
I didn't even realize that till right now. That's exciting.
That is.
So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, Miss Sexy Librarian? How did you get started in your place in the lifestyle?
I got started in the lifestyle in a really funny way. You know how everybody has one Facebook friend that they don't know how they got them?
Yes. Always. You're like, who is this person?
Who is this person? So I had a Facebook friend. I do not know how we became Facebook friends, but there she was in my feed. And she was doing interesting and adventurous things sexually. And she talked about them in a fairly limited way because it was Facebook. So she was talking about going to art shows and workshops and performances that often had a really sexually charged aspect to them. And one day she posted about a workshop that she was going to go to, which was about penis worship.
Okay.
Like there was a tantric practitioner who was going to do a program for people to participate in about worshiping the male member. And I believe it's called Lingam worship. I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly. And so I was like, I'm going to go to that workshop. So I called the place that was hosting it, and it turned out to be a swingers club. And they said that workshop is full, actually. We have one, though, on yoni worship, which is worshiping the female genitalia and unlocking the potential of G-spot orgasm and squirting orgasm. Would you be interested in that? I was like, you know what? Sure. Why not?
I'd be like, sign me up.
Yeah. I was like, you know, I was kind of focusing on the other one because I was thinking about my partner's pleasure, but I was like, you know, I don't think I have the capacity for that. You know, that's not really how I have orgasms when I never squirted, but like, you know what, let's try that. So we went down to a sex club and went to check it out. And little did I know that that was the kind of orgasm that was available to me. And little did I know that that would be the doorway into the lifestyle for me. And it's all history from there.
That is so cool. That's so interesting. So just this random follower on Facebook, you're like, I like what they're doing. I'm going to try that. And here we are.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, had no idea, like the name of the venue didn't ring any bells for me. And like since then, knowing people in the lifestyle, they're like, oh yeah, that's like, that is a swingers club.
That's the most popular one, actually. You just didn't know.
Yeah. And I had no idea. So that, I mean, I knew when I was going there and was very concerned about what I would wear to a swingers club. But turns out whatever you want.
What did you wear? I have to know.
What did I wear? I actually went shopping and I bought a really cute little crop top that was somewhat sheer. It was a sort of a greenish color and a little bathing suit bottom and a nice pair of shoes that wouldn't be hard to walk in and would be easy to slip in and out of.
And so in this workshop, is it just
yeah.
They're teaching you how to orgasm, how to squirt? So was it literally just like a bunch of women in there squirting all over the place? That's what I'm imagining in my head.
Just like the Bellagio, but like with people.
Yeah, exactly. Just water just spraying everywhere.
And lights and, you know, music at the same time. No, it was almost entirely couples. So it was couples and their partners. And then there was the tantra practitioner had a partner as well. And they were working together and he demonstrated how he would bring her to the point of squirting. And, you know, he talked about different techniques to reach the G-spot and where they are differently for different people. And then, you know, we were encouraged to, you know, sit with our partner and work on some of those techniques together. So, yeah, so it was a whole lot of women being very caringly and focusedly fingered by their partners.
Wow. And being as that was your first experience, was it uncomfortable for you? Did you just fully embrace it?
I fully embraced it because it was it. And that's kind of when I knew, oh, yeah, this is great for me, because I didn't feel like I had none of those feelings of, oh, no, like, how many people in the room are going to see me naked or going to see my body or like, what if I didn't have any of that. I just felt like, yes, let's do this. Let's do this.
It's so and nice. I think
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's so nice. Like, you didn't feel judged. And everyone that talks about like lifestyle people, they're like, when I first started, I was in a space I didn't feel judged.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly it. And I think I always want to take, every woman I know to a lifestyle club. In the sense that your idea of what it's going to be, like when I've spoken with people who haven't been in sex club or lifestyle club or like sex party spaces, they imagine the scene from Eyes Wide Shut,
yes.
You know, where it's like statuesque, gorgeous, tan women in masks, slowly walking and dropping their cloak and, you know, performing acrobatic acts for everyone to watch. And that it's very sort of like reserved, but mostly I find, especially for women, they're very worried their bodies are not good enough. And then you get into an actual swinger club, an actual space like that, and you see every kind of body, and you realize that all bodies are worthy of sexual attention. All bodies are capable of sexual joy. All bodies are valuable. And it reframes how you think about yourself.
Yeah, that is so beautiful. It is true. And even when you look at X, for example, an X thread or a Reddit thread, there is something for everybody, all different body types, all different kinks. Like, and it builds your confidence to see like there are people out there that no matter what you think of yourself, they think you are beautiful. And that just raises your self-esteem.
Exactly. And one of the things that has been really eye-opening to me as well in terms of making content is everybody has aspects of their body that they don't like, especially if you've been raised as a woman, you have aspects of your body that you judge harshly, and you can look in the mirror and see yourself as a collection of flaws if you're not careful. And that finding that what you perceive as a flaw, someone else finds specifically very erotic and exciting is also mind-blowing, because you have such a narrow idea of what sexual attractiveness is.
Yeah, I completely agree. We look at ourselves as women and we're constantly picking out the negative things.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely,
you know, we are our own worst critics. And then our partners are telling us how beautiful and sexy we are, and we don't see it. And it's so sad that sometimes it takes other people to remind us that, like, no, nobody cares about that one stretch mark or that one little scar that you have, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Nobody cares. And that there really truly is something for everybody, you know? Like, I don't know, everybody has their little flaw. I used to, so I have very prominent veins. And I've always thought that that was like a drawback. And then I realized that there are like subreddits called, you know, veiny feet, you know.
You're like, yes, I'm home.
Veiny breath. I'm like, whatever weird thing you've got going on, there is somebody out there who that is their favorite thing.
That's my husband's favorite saying. There's a niche for that. There's a niche for everything.
That, yes.
No matter what you do, I'll do something weird. And I'm like, would people think I'm sexy now? He's like, yeah, there's a niche for that.
Yeah, there is. I believe there's a joke on the internet. It's like, I can't remember. It's like rule 34 or rule 37 or something about the internet. If it exists, there is porn of it.
That's, I've never heard that, but that is accurate.
Yeah, absolutely. It's accurate.
Yeah.
There's something for everybody.
When you're whatever thing happens to you during sex where you're like, oh, that was a little bit gross.
You know? So,
you're like, nope, there's somebody who loves that.
Yeah.
So the $1 million question here is, are you a squirter now after that little seminar you attended?
She said, oh, yes.
Yes, I am very, very,
found the
very
magic button, huh?
Yes. And it really is like a button. It's funny because I always say to people, they're like, my body has a couple of different orgasms available to it now. And you know, the clitoral orgasm is more elusive, and I really enjoy that one. It's trickier to get to. There's a certain level of skill, but man, the squirt orgasm, it's literally just a button. If you hit that button, it's going to happen.
So I just recently started squirting. My button was just recently located just a couple months ago, and it would happen and then it wouldn't for a while, and then it would happen, and I was like, I don't know, like sometimes it's just there and sometimes it's not. And I actually did a live just a couple days ago, and oh my goodness, okay. I probably squirted like, what, babe, 6-7 times?
Yeah, 7 gallons.
Yeah. It was ridiculous. I was like, oh, there it is.
I was really expecting you to come home looking like a raisin. You know, just no fluid in you whatsoever anymore.
It's crazy. It is crazy. And like, and when you do get on, I say once the floodgates are open, because for me, once the first squirt has happened, all subsequent squirts become easier.
Yes, yes, yes.
Easier to access. So like once we've started, that's where we are. And there are times when I'm with my partner and I'm like, I actually don't want to squirt because we're in a place where like it would be awkward if I did, or I can't clean that or whatever. And I'm like, just don't start it. Please don't start it.
Do not open those floodgates.
Do not.
See, babe, we need to go to the class. Just so like we can make it happen every time. Like we gotta see one of those.
You also have to really heavily invest in waterproof mattress covers, though.
We have found that. So this live I did was a couple days ago. I was with Bulls. It was a live sex show. And oh my goodness, I felt so bad. We were at his place and there was just flooding everywhere. I was like, I owe you a carpet. It got on his laptop. Oh. I was like, oh my gosh. I was mortified. I was like, how much money do I owe you for all this stuff? We definitely need to bring the waterproof mattress everywhere.
The number of times I have hit my phone with the squirt.
As you're trying to record it.
And think to myself, that's it. I killed it. I killed the phone. I since have gotten a waterproof case for my phone. But before I had one time I hit the squirt, hit it. But it hit it so hard and it hit the button. Like, you know, where you press the little red button at the bottom to start the recording, that it turned the recording off.
That's probably such a good video, though. You're like, oh, that's so great.
Except it stopped it. It's like the big hit it and it went, boop, it was off.
Oh, that's so good.
I was like, I need to get a case.
Yeah, definitely. Because you can't control it. And once it happens, you're just like, well, I don't know where this is going to go. Like, yeah, I could totally see that. You're trying to record it and then it just... That's what we did. We were trying to record it with the laptop, like the phone on the laptop, and it just drenched the laptop. I was like,
exactly. Exactly. And you're like, oh no. Or I'm always very sensitive to like, if you enjoy group sex or orgies or sex parties, I always try to be sensitive when I'm at one of those sort of locations about how and where I squirt as well. Because, you know, maybe it's a bodily fluid. Maybe other people don't want it on them. You know, generally speaking, the men that I have had the chance to squirt on were very happy about it happening.
Yeah, I don't think you need to worry about the men's perspective on that. I know no men at all that would say, I'm not into it.
Yeah. There's a niche for people that are not into it.
I think
okay.
There's a lot. No, that's one thing where I doubt. I haven't heard it yet.
That's very true. But I was so recently, my partner and I were invited to a little intimate orgy at home. So it was at a friend's place and there were two other couples. So it was just the six of us. And we were like, oh, well, you know, maybe they were all like creators as well. So we'll like do a little filming and whatnot. But then, and the gentleman who I was having sex with was really excited that it could happen. So it started happening. And then he just wanted to hit that button. And I was like, this is making the very large bed that we're all on. This is going to affect other people. I don't know. It was funny.
You are now on a waterbed. You're welcome.
We're now on a waterbed. They had put down the protection that was required. I was very glad about that.
And then you're like, hold on, I need to go rehydrate a little bit. That's how I felt after the other night. I was like, I need so much water right now.
I used to say, or I still say, that I should be a spokesperson for like the kind of water bottle I enjoy, because I don't ever have sex without the water bottle close to me because I do need to rehydrate. And but you have to have one that you can drink from lying down.
What's the water bottle for that?
It's such a basic one, and like I don't know if I'll get in trouble for that, but I just buy it at like a big box versus a Contigo. But Contigo has like one that it doesn't have a straw in it, so you do have to tip it, but it does not pour until you press the button, so you don't accidentally like drown yourself. And you can drink from it in any position.
You should definitely have that in your videos. Contigo's going to reach out to you and be like, here, we're going to send you a bunch of free ones.
I just picture, you know, the people during a football game where they have a timeout and they run out with the water bottles and they're like spraying water into the players' face masks and everything. That's what I see.
Yeah.
It's like during a gangbang or an orgy or something, we got the water bottle people that are just spraying water everywhere.
Well, what's funny is, I'm glad you say that, because during my very first hot wife experience, that very first one, I had a wonderful experience, by the way. But one of the things that stuck out to me was like, he would stop to take water breaks. And, you know, when you're normally like having sex with someone, like just in your real life, they usually don't stop and like take water breaks and talk to you for a few minutes. And it's like, okay, let's keep going. And that was like my first hint that like, oh, creation's a little bit different. Yeah. There are water breaks and there are like timeouts. Yeah. And I didn't realize that. I'm like, usually like if my husband and I are having sex, it's so passionate. Like I'm not stopping for water in the middle of it. Like I'm going to wait till the end, but creation's a little bit different.
And it's also just having sex with other people, right? I think that was also one of the very eye-opening things to me, because I had been in mostly monogamous relationships for most of my life. And then you have an idea of what sex is or what a sexual encounter is based on your demographic of your survey of one person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the idea of when you have sex with someone else and you're like, oh, we chat a little, you know, or there's a water break, or, you know, there's
change the camera angle.
Like, change the camera angle, or just even recreationally, where you can say to someone, here's what I actually need.
Yeah.
You know, and not have to feel that you're killing the mood, because a lot of times people don't make requests because they don't want to ruin momentum or kill the mood. And I think that ends up with people having sex that is like not optimal. And sometimes you need to be able to go, actually, I'm a little too close to the headboard and it's like, it's hurting my head.
Yeah.
So can we just scooch down a little, you know, like whatever.
I'm about to get a concussion. Yeah.
I'm about to get a concussion. Or I don't like that draft. I mean, for a lot of women, for most people, like arousal, there are various factors in arousal. But you being distracted from your arousal is problematic, right? I heard someone once describe it as a flock of geese, that all the geese have to be flying in the same direction. So if, you know, there are 12 geese and 11 of them are flying in the direction of, I am going to have an orgasm, but one goose is your feet being too cold, it's pulling in the other direction.
100%. Yes.
Well, and it's pulling with 11 times the power that the other ones are.
Right. That one is totally leading the way. Yes.
Yeah. So the whole flock needs to be going in the same direction. And if at a moment during, you know, getting started, I realize my feet are cold, let me get a pair of socks. Let me get a pair of very cute, sexy socks or nylon stockings. That's a big.
Oh, we're going to talk about your nylons. Yes. We're definitely talking about that.
Yeah. So making sure that you can communicate with a partner, and like you say, content creation, life is raw and art is cooked, right?
Mm-hmm.
So having those little moments where you rehydrate, where I am such a big fan of lube. I am like a lube evangelist. I want to tell everybody to have lube around, especially as a squirty girl, because the wet sometimes washes away the slippery, and we need the slippery.
I'm so glad you said that. My husband was just on me the other day because – I was telling him that after one of my hot wife dates, I'm like, I'm just sore because I should have lubed up more. And he was like, you need to stay on top of that. And my reaction was, I always feel bad. I feel like if I'm grabbing lube, they're going to think I'm not that into it. And he was like, you're crazy. Like lube is just a natural thing. Like you just grab it. They're not going to think you're not into it. Like you just need it. So I'm happy to hear you say that because, yeah, I had this hang up that if I reached for lube, they would think like, oh, she's not wet because it's me or whatever the case.
Girl, lube is so important. And I always say I hate when people lube shame because I've heard that before. I've heard people brag that they're so wet they never need lube. That's great. Then don't use it. But I also resent it when they sort of make that implication that if you do need lube, it means you're not aroused. And there are so many different ways to be aroused. And there's actually something called non-concordant arousal, which is when your mind is aroused, but your body is not. And sometimes your body is aroused and your mind is not. And then sometimes they both are. So I think it's deeply important that, you know, when my mind is ready, if my body's not there yet, I'm going to help it out. And there's absolutely no shame in that.
Absolutely. Plus, I mean, I'll speak for myself here. I'm not 20 years old anymore. Hormones and things are changing. So sometimes I might be super aroused, but I'm not quite as like wet as I think I would be. So it's just an age thing.
And and if you're going to have sex for a long time, you know, I do tend to like, you know, my partner and I love to have like these epic long fuck fests. And then like your body only can make so much lubricant. And sometimes you need more.
Yep. See, I love that. I needed to hear that. We literally just had this conversation after last weekend. I was like, it was great. I should have just lubed up more because I'm feeling a little chafed. And he was like, nobody is going to care if you get more lube.
Well, and as a guy, if you're dry or whatever, like I feel it, you know, I feel it. And the more lube you got going, like the better it is for the guy too, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't use enough.
Absolutely. So it's great for both partners. And it's really like, you will run into people who will say, oh, did I not, you know, are you not turned on? And those, you know, those people are jerks, or they need to be educated, right? Because we have so much, like, this is a thing that I see so much now that I work, that I create work, that I make pornography, that people are looking at pornography for sex education because sex education is not where it should be. So then they're looking at porn, wanting to get that information, and often what's being shown is not accurate information.
No, not at all. So, like, no, I'm sorry, but you're not going to walk up to someone's door and they're probably not going to fuck you. Porn is not real life.
Porn is not real life. So I usually try to make, we're not always successful with this, but I often try to make a distinction that like this is a role play. You know, when we do role plays in the context of pornography, the videos that we make, but sometimes, you know, then I'm like, no, this is just us having sex. And there's also the, like, we find that when we are making videos for people to watch, we want, and the viewer wants to be able to see things. So you choose positions that are more open. You choose positions and acts that make it more visible. Whereas sometimes the most satisfying sex we have are really closed positions that don't film well.
Agreed. And then I
want to make sure that like people, so every now and again, I'll film one of those. And I'll be like, this, I know this isn't going to feel like as exciting, but this also like, this feels really good.
This is what I enjoy.
But again, going back to there's something for everyone. There's times where we'll send Sexy Soccer Mom out on a hot wife date on her own. And she hates dealing with cameras, hates the technology side of things. And so I say, hey, just put your phone up in the corner, press record and leave it. And now it gives you that fly on the wall. Like, here's what's happening. If I was just peeking through the door, you know, and close-ups, no, nothing like that. But it is just them two having sex together and whatever positions they're in, that's the view you're getting. And there's a hotness to that also, as opposed to the POV stuff. Or if I go, I tend to get, you know, more penetrative sex up close and those sorts of things, but it's all different. And like, she asked me, hey, what do you like better? What do you like better? And I like it all. Like every little viewpoint is just something different.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. There are times when I shoot things that I think won't be interesting to people, but it was interesting to me. And I'm like, whatever, I'm going to post it. And then, you know, the feedback will be really great that was really interesting to them. So, you know, You never know.
Your stuff is always very beautiful, very classy. You have a very classy, like, I don't know, an air to your photos, to your videos. And you are, you're the sexy librarian, but you do give off that very, I don't know the word I'm looking for. It's just very beautiful. It's very classy. It's not, I don't know. I always feel like, oh, look how pretty her stuff is. I got to pretty mine up a little bit. I got to get the lighting there and things.
It's the kind of porn that I like to watch. And I have it as a category on my OnlyFans page. You know, the categories that you can put it in so people can click to watch a category. I have a category called sunshine porn, sunbeam porn, because I just want to be laying in a sunbeam, you know, beautifully, languorously, you know, getting fucked.
Yeah.
Or masturbating or whatever, because that's the kind of pornography that I gravitate towards. Like, I love the aesthetic of the 70s and 80s in terms of the history of porn. I really like that look. So, yeah. And again, it's maybe trying to subvert the expectations of what people think porn is. Not that I don't value porn that has like a very dark aesthetic, and I do some of that as well, or a very tawdry or trashy look. Like, those words imply value, but I'm trying not to imply value. Like, I like all different kinds of looks as well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, wanting to sort of show kind of like a wholesome porn, if that makes sense.
No, I say the same thing. I'm like, I'm the sexy soccer mom. So, like, sometimes when I post things, I'm like, oh, that was too much for my vibe. But it is my vibe because I do it. I feel torn. I'm like, I like it and I do it. But yeah, sometimes when I post it, I'll ask Hot Soccer Daddy. I'm like, was that too much? And he was like, no, that's fucking hot. But like, I totally understand what you're saying. It's like this, you want your porn to be like wholesome porn, but like at the end of the day, it's porn. You sucking a cock is like not always going to look pretty. Like,
mm-hmm. Exactly. And allowing for those moments to happen as well. I guess I just always love embracing the dichotomies. And I know part of what attracts people to the concept of a sexy librarian is that she's a good girl, is that she's proper and restrained and classy and, you know, educated and all the rest of that. And then there are times when I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to film the nastiest, most explicit, hardcore type thing as well.
I love that.
You know, subvert that expectation. Yeah.
And I think it goes back to what you were saying about how people kind of go to this type of porn for sex education because it's not the best. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why amateur porn and content creation, like on an amateur level, has really gained so much traction because it's not this mainstream porn with storylines and this. It's a little bit of everything, and it's showing that it can be this and it can be this and really, this is, you know, how this works. It's not storylined. Yeah. It's very, very real. And like you said, sometimes the angles aren't great. Sometimes closed position feels better, so you're not going to see my pussy. But you know what? This is sex.
Yeah, it's very true. And I try to have all those things. You know, like I have a very popular video where I am masturbating with a shoe and it makes me squirt.
Like the heel?
And no, it's actually a sandal, and it is more like the place where your toes would be resting.
Okay.
In it. Yeah. And I'm using that to stimulate my clitoris. And I believe I was also using a insertion toy too. And then I squirted a whole lot. And I wouldn't have tried that had a subscriber not requested that as a commission, right?
Yeah.
As a custom. Somebody was like, would you do this as a custom? And I was like, you know what? I'll try it. And then it worked out really well. And it was a really hot video. And, you know, people request it all the time. Now, do I sit around masturbating with shoes on the regular? No, I don't. Have I incorporated shoes into my masturbatory practice? Not really. But it was interesting. And I was able to authentically do it. And I'm always excited by doing something different. Now, would I say that this is a thing that everyone should do or should be able to do, or why can't you squirt by masturbating with a shoe, you know, any other person in the world? No, like, it's a performance also.
Right.
But it did really happen. So it's always, there's always that sort of like that fine line where when my partner and I will do something that is more extreme, or will try to think of a good, somebody requested a 1950s costume, full role play, my husband owes him money and we come to an agreement and he takes it out in sex and it was really fun and hot to shoot, but that's clearly a fantasy.
I would say that sounds really fucking hot, actually.
You know, it's interesting because we'll get messages from time to time about the authenticity of certain videos. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, I think the messages Sexy Soccer Mom gets are, oh, I love your stuff because it's so authentic and it's just you having sex and we can tell you enjoy it and those sorts of comments. Mm-hmm. But every now and then, I was actually just reading one before we hopped on the podcast with you, and this person was, I wouldn't say questioning the authenticity of some videos, but kind of had that vibe to it. And
yeah.
So what if you're role playing? Like, this is still you guys having fun and you guys, no, I don't always masturbate with a shoe, but guess what? I did it. And that was real when it was happening. And even though it might have been someone's idea, and that's called exploration. Yeah. And if you're not having sex and trying to explore with your partner or on your own and trying to learn things about yourself and sex in general, then you're never going to, what else is out there that you don't even know about that you might like? And I think that's also part of the appeal to all this stuff too, is it might not look authentic because it's something you don't normally see, but it was authentic in the moment.
That's right. And there are a lot of things too, where my logical brain was like, no, thank you. That's not sexy, And then I was like, no, maybe I'll try it. And then to try it and be like, oh, that actually, there is something there for me. Even if it's just psychological, even if it's just your biggest sex organ is your brain. And so if it's like, if that thing is exciting your brain, it could still work. I didn't start having anal sex until quite far into my adulthood. And I absolutely thought that I would never do that, because why would you? It doesn't sound like fun. It sounds painful. It's probably something that is just for porn, right? And then I had a partner who really wanted to try it. And I was like, you know what? I'll try it. And I tried it, I do it 3 or 4 times just to make sure I could. And I was like, yeah, I can get past the initial discomfort of it and try and be here for it. But it's not going to make me come. It's not going to give me an orgasm. But, I am here for my partner in this moment. And then I had a new partner who was also very interested in anal. And I was like, you know what? I'll try it again. And the first time we had anal, I had an orgasm.
Wow.
And it with him, so I'd already had done it four or five, maybe 6 times so far. And then I was just like, it was a different angle. It was like, here were the things that lined up for this to work for me. It's not going to work every single time. But there, I can find genuine enjoyment in this. And I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't tried it a little bit. And I'm not saying everybody has to try things or should be pressured to try things that they're not interested in. But, sometimes you find something that you didn't know was there.
Yeah, it opens up your mind a little bit. And there's been a lot of things that when we started, I was like, that's a no-go for me. I'm not into that. And that's evolved. And now it's a go ahead,
Yeah.
It's just, you think that it's not something that you're going to be into or enjoy. And then, once I tried it, I'm like, I actually do enjoy this. I don't mind it. Yeah. Let's work this in more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She can't get enough dick.
I mean, can any of us? That's why we do this.
Early on, it was like, nope, I will never have more than one. And now she's like, I can't get enough. Just open the door and let them all in.
Yeah, I said I would never have I was like one, one-on-one, boy, girl. Like no male, female, males, no gangbangs, no nothing. And now I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. I love a good gangbang. Put me in the middle of all the cocks.
Yeah, and now you want to try it all.
Yeah.
And that's it, just a classic example where you partner who makes you feel safe. That is so much of the difference. When you are able to safely comfortably try something and see if you'd like it. That makes such a difference.
Yeah. So you guys started, you'd went to your squirting workshop, and that you said opened the door. From there, was it a swinger situation with you and your partner where you started finding other swingers? How did it evolve from like, hey, I can squirt, to like, we're going full in?
I was not at the time partnered in like a long-term way. But I did have a friend who was very curious about that scene himself. So I was like, all right, let's try it out. And we would go at times that were more quiet because I was a little nervous about there being a lot of people around. And so we'd go when it was, you know, quiet, like sort of like afternoons and things. And I would just have sex with him. But other people could watch and there were other people around, and it was sort of like getting more into that. And then there was a time when we were supposed to go to a Halloween party together. So I got all dressed up in a cute little slightly slutty Halloween outfit for this Halloween party, and got to his place, and he was like, I am so sick. He didn't even like, he was in an apartment. He didn't even buzz me up. He said, I am on, like, throwing up, awfully sick, terribly sick, cannot go. I am so sorry I can't go. I'm so sorry. Food poisoning just came on so fast. And I was like, oh, that's okay, no worries, that's okay. And he's like, yeah. But, you know, I hope you have fun at the party. Like, it was just a regular Halloween party that we were going to go to. And I was like, yeah, I'm still going to go. So I went to the Halloween party, didn't really know anyone, you know, stood there with a drink in my hand for about 20 minutes feeling uncomfortable, and then was like, you know what? I know there's a Halloween party at that sex club that we go to sometimes, and I'm going to go. I'm going to go to the Halloween party at the sex club. I'm a big girl. I could do it. And I, you know, got back in my car and went to the sex club and went to the Halloween party. And I was just like, I'm going to be brave. There was a costume contest. And so I went and entered the costume contest and stood in front of all the people and did a little dance and all the rest of things. And they, you know, I won third prize in the costume contest. And
go, girl.
So that everybody kind of knew me, everybody had seen me, and then I was like dancing, and a couple came over and they were like, you look so cute in your little costume. I said, thank you so much, you guys look amazing too. And we chatted, and you know, as you do a sex club, and they were like, are you interested maybe in playing with us tonight? And I was like, I think I might be interested in that. I think I might. So then they were like, all right, let's you want to go to some of the playrooms? And I said, yeah. And we headed on up to a playroom, and I had a threesome with this couple in front of a whole lot of other people, and it was great.
And that's, I was like, such a hot story.
I really liked this. Yeah.
you're our second hot Halloween story. Halloween. They say the freaks come out on Halloween. I think Halloween's where people jump in.
Halloween is a great time for the inhibitions to be loosened a little bit.
I mean, those costumes out there will definitely get the job done.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just imagining, like, at a regular Halloween party, what costumes look like at a sex club. Those costumes are probably barely existent.
Have you ever been to a Halloween party at a sex club?
We've never been to a sex club. Can you believe that? I know, we've never been to,
I am shocked,
like a sex club, a swingers party. So everything went so quickly for us. Like, we jumped into hot wifing. Mm-hmm. We were kind of content creating a little bit before the hot wifing. Like, you know, like, here, flash my tits. Okay. COVID hit. We got bored. We're like, let's see. OnlyFans got big. Let's see what this is about. Never really went anywhere. But we were already a little bit familiar with content creation. We had a page. So once I started hot wifing, it all happened so fast. It was just hot wifing into content creation. And we have two small kids. So when we do get free time, I'm usually on hot wife dates. So we actually have never done like a sex club or a resort or anything. It's on our list. We just haven't.
Okay, and I'm a big sex club fan. I really enjoy sex clubs.
That's what we've heard. We've heard they're great.
I like the spontaneity of them. Yeah, there are definitely, you know, it's a different vibe because there's people all around, right? So it depends if you're an exhibitionist. An exhibitionist. If that's where like you feel most comfortable and happy, you sometimes have to be like in the right mood. And of course there's different events and different themes and different parties. And, you know, if you're there on the wrong day, it's not the experience you want. Do some research, basically, is what I'm saying. If you're going to go to a sex club. But they have, like, if you like gangbangs, if you like, you know, unicorning, if you like, there's always an event for those things.
Would you say you're an exhibitionist?
I would say I'm an exhibitionist, yeah.
That's so awesome. Yeah. I would say I am, too. I would get off on that in a sex club, yeah. I think.
Mm-hmm. I love my a friend of mine and I who go to sex clubs. We call it peacocking. You know, we have to have our peacock moment.
Yes, where you strut your stuff in there, and yes.
Yeah, exactly, and show off a little. I love, you know, if you've seen my content, I love lingerie. I love stockings and hosiery and crazy shoes, and so it's lovely to go to a sex club and like bust out a really great sex club outfit.
Now let's talk about your love for your pantyhose and where did that come from?
So the pantyhose fetish, it's interesting because I have always enjoyed legwear and hosiery because I have always been very into fashion and clothing. Getting dressed up is like a creative expression for me. I don't very often wear something that I haven't thought about. So I live in Canada, as we have discussed, and it's cold up here most of the year. So if you're going to wear skirts, it's smart to cover your legs with something. So I have always been the kind of person who wore tights. You know, when I was in university, I was like kind of a little grunge girl and I like combat boots and.
Oh my gosh, I cannot see that about you now.
Yeah.
You're like so classy. I could not see that. That's so funny.
I know, huh?
Yeah. Like,
now,
I'm picturing
now I
her.
I got a picture you with Doc Martens on.
I'm picturing her in her pantyhose and heels, and then now I'm seeing like grunge and it's just not computing in my brain.
Oh, absolutely. Ripped fishnets with combat boots or Doc Martens. And like, that was definitely a phase of my style journey. So I had a lot of tights and stockings and hosiery and things. And then I've also always liked shiny things. Like, I'm really a sensory and texture person. So I don't want to just wear things that are pretty. I want things that feel good. So then tights and stockings have to also feel good. And I remember having ones that were cheap and itchy and I didn't like them and complaining about them to a sales lady. And she said to me, oh, you should go to like a hosiery store and get good hosiery. So then I found a hosiery store and went to get some good hosiery. And then they started, the salesperson there started talking to me about things like denier, which is like the how thick a pair of pantyhose is, like a low number, like a 10 denier is very thin, very sheer. And then like a high number, like a 50 denier is much thicker. And then talking about different kinds of ways that things are fabricated. And for a brief time, I worked in the fashion industry. So I understood a little bit about fabrication and I can kind of like geek out on that. And then one day I was wearing a pair of tights and making out with someone, and we were not in a place where I could take my clothes off. So it was kind of a situation of like, we're going to have to kind of do this over clothes. And he started playing with my pussy over the tights, and it felt really good. And I realized that what was happening was the sensation was being sort of diffused over the whole area, over my whole pubic area, and that was making it feel even better than it usually did. Huh. So that was a really cool experience and a very exciting little thing to learn. And then I was like, I wonder if the same thing would happen when I masturbated. So then I tried masturbating with tights on, with nylons on, and finding that, yeah, there is a, like, you touch yourself differently. And the sensation is distributed differently. And it became like a really nice way to edge. And then I was like, what if I use a toy? And that really works nicely too, because I have a really sensitive clit. And sometimes direct stimulation is too much. It kind of shorts out. So that was a way that I could find to like stimulate my clit, but not make it stop feeling good, because the sensations were spread out more. And it kind of built from there. And then I started creating content and found out that there was like a world of pantyhose fetishists who like the way they look as well as the way they feel. And I thought, oh, this is very clearly, it's going to work for me.
Yeah, this is my home. You can't see me right now, but I'm on Amazon.
Here I am.
I'm on Amazon looking for pantyhose. You can't see me, but the way you're describing it, I'm like, I need to try this.
I will send you links to some brands I like for sure.
Because it's kind of your signature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's really something that has come to work for me now, again, in the sort of like art is cooked and life is real. I don't wear pantyhose 24/7, and I don't wear them every single time I have sex or masturbate, but they are definitely a value add for me in terms of that, and I really like them. And in terms of fashion, like, I love the way they look. And then now that I've gotten into that world, I'm like, oh, there's all these brands that I really love. Like, the first time you wear a pair of high quality pantyhose, you're like, oh, I see now. I see what they're talking about now.
Send links for sure. I'm going to go broke today.
We're sold.
There's some beautiful things, and there's so much that's visually beautiful about stockings and pantyhose and lingerie. And like, I love the visual aspect of it. It really adds to the art I make, you know?
Well, that's what I'd say. You generally like genuinely like the feeling, but also it goes with your whole aesthetic, this sexy librarian who's mm-hmm. always in pantyhose and yep. beautiful heels. Like, mm-hmm. so it works all the way around for you. And I'm not a big pantyhose person. I mean, we're in California. I have no need to wear pantyhose, right?
Well, exactly.
But
exactly.
And so I've never really noticed. And then watching your stuff, I'm like, that is such a classy look. Like, I really enjoy your pictures with those, because I'm like, I've never thought of that in like a sexual way. Yeah. But damn, that is hot.
So that's something about this whole world too. Again, we talked about exploration and just like from a sexual act standpoint. But I've got the stuff that I like in terms of lingerie. You know, I do love me a set of fishnets.
He used to love mm-hmm. trashy lingerie. That was his favorite, like the trashier the
better. And I still do. I fucking love it. But the thing also mm-hmm. is that because other guys have done customs or requested customs and, oh, I want to see you in this, or some bulls you've been with like a certain type of lingerie, so you'll wear that. And it wouldn't necessarily be something that I would go for, but I get the opportunity now to see you in other stuff that I normally wouldn't pick, and have had a pretty damn good reaction to all of it. I wouldn't have picked that one, but yes, that looks really fucking hot. And I think the nylons is the same thing, you know? I'm interested to go jump down this rabbit hole.
You want to see me in some nylons now?
Yeah.
It's all good.
Well, I'm not a shoe person, right? Like, in my everyday life, and even in my hot wifing life, I'm more about the lingerie. I'm horrible with shoes. And again, that's because we're in California. 90% of the year I'm in flip-flops. I'll just be real. And so heels were never a thing to me. But now when I see women with heels on, I've noticed I've started paying more attention, because I'm like, I should really take more of an interest in the shoes, because shoes are sexy. And that's always my last thought, is this shoe. I'm always like, what am I going to wear? Okay, whatever shoe goes with that is fine. But then I've seen women who really wear some sexy heels, and I'm like, that's actually very hot to me. I need to really pay attention to my footwear more.
Yeah. And then, like, it's, again, like anything, it's a rabbit hole that you can go down. Like, if you just didn't know about it to begin with. I remember, too, like, at the beginning of my journey doing this, you know, I had a pair of, you know, tan sandals and a pair of black pumps and a pair of, you know, I think I had one like crazy colorful shoe, or like, you know, a little, like a yellow sandal or something like that. And now, like, I literally have just remodeled my closet so that I have more room for shoes, because I have an insane amount of shoes and I love them. And I've gotten into fetish shoes as well. Like, I have shoes I literally can't stand in, because they're so high, and it is about creating a certain look for the foot. It's a foot fetish. It's a shoe fetish, mm-hmm. and boots. You know, boots that you can hardly walk in. Like, that's, I'm fascinated by all these little sexual subcultures. And you know, if somebody contacts me and says, "I would really like to see you wearing these," you know, then I'm absolutely, send them to me.
Yeah,
send them to me.
And, I'll try it.
You know, commission some content, and I would love to try it. And now I can strut around in a in a platform thigh-high boot like nobody's business.
Oh, girl, teach me. I'm the worst. I am so bad in heels. I will wear them like to start out, but in all my videos, I end up without shoes on. I'm like, I cannot function in heels. Like, I need to be able to bounce. I need to be able to move. Like, they're on for 2 minutes, and I'm like, take my shoes off.
Yeah, they look good when they're up in the air, you know, waving back and forth, but you standing on them.
I'm like a baby deer in heels, and it's like I'm trying to be sexy, but I'm like, I am a baby deer. Like, I cannot function in heels. That's and so I just never wear them in my real life. As a teacher, hell no, I'm not wearing heels when I'm on my feet all day. I'm just not one of those people. So absolutely I need to get better.
And I get that. I get that too. A lot of people are like, you know, if I'm, because I literally am a librarian. And
you literally are. I was going to ask you that, but I didn't want to blow your cover. You really are a librarian.
Yes. It is like, I would say one of the number one questions that people ask me on, you know, on all platforms. Are you really a librarian?
Oh, I've been dying to ask you this whole hour, but I'm like, I don't know if it's going to blow her cover, you know? Okay. So you really are a sexy librarian.
I am. And it actually started, like, I got the name because I was in, you know, I was in swinger world and sex world before I started content creating. And whenever people would say, so what do you do for a living? I'd say I'm a librarian. And everyone said, oh, a sexy librarian. Like, they were just so delighted by that. And I always thought it was so funny because it is not an inherently sexy profession. You know, sexy is as sexy does. Although you do meet a lot of people who are very well informed. And that was, I mean, I come to a lot of this by really reading. I've read a lot about sex.
I think also the librarian is one of those taboo, like, the sexy librarian, like the good girl, the, you know, hair in a bun and very conservative. So the fact that you're the sexy librarian, I could definitely see where that's hot, you know, because now you're taking back the cover on that.
Yeah, it's the same kind of thing as a teacher, you know, where it's like, oh, you got the hot teacher and...
Oh, gosh, as soon as people find out I'm a teacher, it's like, oh, my God, that's so hot.
It's the contradictory nature of things, right?
Yes.
That they expect you to not be sexy, and then when you are sexy, like, that, they find that extra hot. It's the taboo, like you said. But, you know, in my day-to-day work as a librarian, I am not wearing high heels all the time. If I have a day where I know I'm going to be on my desk, I'm going to be at my desk for the day, then sure, I'll wear heels. But if I know I'm going to be going up and downstairs, I'm not trying to kill myself, right? So it's the same thing.
The two lives. I know people are like, don't your students hit on you all the time? I'm like, well, I wear clothes at work, so that helps. You know, like, exactly. I'm not naked, so that helps a lot. It's the double life thing. We really are these things in real life. Like, I am a real teacher. You are a real librarian, and we have roles and responsibilities. Yeah. But in our other life, we also get to play that up a little bit.
Yeah, that's right.
And it makes it fun.
It really does make it fun. And, you know, I always say to people, like, your biggest sex organ is your brain. Read about sex, educate yourself about sex, learn about sex. Like, that's part of being a sexy librarian, is bringing information to people about sex.
And before I was going to ask you, ask you if you're a real librarian, in my head, I'm like, she has to be. She's so well-spoken and so intelligent that if she's not a real librarian, she is something like having to do with literature or books.
Yeah, she's definitely read a book at a time or two.
Yeah, she's so much smarter than me. Like, she has books. To be a librarian. You're very well-spoken.
I have read a couple books. Thank you.
But I think you're right.
A couple of degrees, I read a couple of books. And gone to a couple schools.
You're right that it's the brain. Like, the more you know, the more knowledge you have about anything. So sex is just one of those things. The more knowledge you have about it, it's just the more you understand it, and then the better it is.
Yeah. And the more you can make other people feel comfortable too. Like, I have a lot of people who subscribe to my page and they want to talk about their fetish, or they would like content about their fetish, and I was like, it's a little weird, like, I don't know if you're gonna, like, it's a little, you might judge me, and I'll wait until you tell me, but I really feel like at this point I've heard almost everything, so the things that sometimes people think I'm going to be surprised by, I'm like, that's not, there are often things that are very much outside the bound of what we would consider normal, but I'm also not surprised because I have read about it or heard about it or, you know, been exposed to it in some way.
Right.
Because I like the weird things. I'm always saying, people, tell me your weird thing. I'm curious.
It's definitely intriguing. Curiosity. You know, again, it's that exploration side of it. And there might be something that I would have never thought was a thing. But all of a sudden that idea gets brought up. And then you look at it and you're like, wow.
Yeah.
I could see where the appeal would be to do that or to try that out or to dive a little bit deeper into it, understanding it, you know, and there's obviously some things too that are off limits that we just don't have an interest in and know we never will. You know, you don't know what you don't know. There's all sorts of stuff out there that we have not even considered yet that who knows, a year down the road, we might be jumping in head first.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing that you guys are into most, like hot wifing, that is so against the narrative that we're presented as quote unquote normal or natural in terms of sexuality. And it is so much more common than you think.
Mm-hmm.
And there are like, you know, examples of it in nature. There are biological imperatives that make you understand why it is actually appealing. You know, I don't know if you've ever done any reading or research into what it is about not being monogamous that is exciting to people, but you know, there's definitely a method to the madness.
Well, and I think back to history, and I am not as knowledgeable as you by any means probably, but I think back to history, and I taught history for a while, and monogamy is not really how things were done. It's a fairly new concept. And even
very new.
You know, when you go, and we won't even take this to the religious aspect, but people were not monogamous in the Bible. And in history, monogamy was not the way people did things. So it's such a newer idea that it makes me question, like, why is that supposedly the right thing to do?
Yes. And that's like so worth investigating. Our idea, like, you know, it is important to think, is this going to hurt people? Like, you should always consider that when you start to do a new thing. But the idea of something being wrong just because it's wrong, you know, the idea of like the cultural script is you have one partner and that one partner is the only person who you have sex with because why, you know, and to go, if both the people in this relationship are comfortable and happy with this, if both the people in the relationship are excited and feel cared for and loved and it strengthens their relationship, why not is the bigger question.
You know, I give you massages here at home, but guess what? You also go get massages down the road at the massage parlor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you go get your hair done. I don't do that. Like, people are putting their hands on you all the time, right? And to me, it's like, hey, well, sex is just another avenue for you to go get pleasure. You're going to get pleasure at the massage place. It's a different kind of pleasure, but you're going. And yeah, I get my hands on you all the time. I also have sex with you all the time, but go get a different kind of pleasure too. You know, there are some things that you have done that I haven't with you, with other guys that you're like, oh, fuck yeah, that was hot. And you would have never had that experience had you not, you know, had you been monogamous.
Yeah.
And that's just some extra something that you haven't tapped into. It doesn't mean you're not coming home and like, we don't have intimacy or, you know, our relationship.
Well, it's made our
intimacy
better.
Oh, big time. Yeah, it definitely has.
Because it's a shared experience, like that experience that you're having and that is exciting for both of you. And that is fuel for your fire.
Exactly. Once we started from the first hot wife date, that's what hooked me in. It was like, yes, it was fun, but what it did for us and the way he looked at me after and our connection after, I was like, if this is what it's going to do for our marriage, I will do this as long as we both enjoy it, because we've always had a great marriage and great sex life and great communication. But wow, what another level it took it to.
I love that.
I have the million-dollar question for you. Have you had sex in the library?
That is the million-dollar question. And people always ask, I have not had sex in the library. Because mainly, and this is a thing that is a bit sad still, and as we were talking about hot wifing, I think it's relevant. There is still so much stigma around making pornography and being a sexual person who is sexual outside of what people think is normal or permissible. So because I love working at the library, I genuinely do, and I want to keep working at the library, I won't do anything that would jeopardize that.
100%. So, I get that. People ask me all the time, have you had sex in
your
classroom?
I'm sure people ask you if you have sex at school.
Yeah. Do you have sex in your classroom? I'm like, that would for sure get me fired. Although I will say at one of my previous schools I taught at, my husband and I did have sex in the classroom. But if I'm going to get fired for anyone, it's my husband, right? Like,
right. Right. And that's the thing. I sincerely hope that should it be discovered that this is what I also do by my employer, that they would go, you know what, that's your private life. You're an adult and you get to make your own decisions. And I want to be able to say I've never done anything that I think would jeopardize people at the library. So I don't do it at the library.
Yeah, understandable.
Plenty of people ask, and lots of people would like me to.
It's their fantasy, and you got to play up the fantasy. But I'm very honest too about that. Like, no, not in my classroom, not on my desk. My husband and I, yes, we fucked on my desk, and you know, that was a risk I was willing to take because it was a fantasy of his. But that is the only person I'm willing to take that risk for.
Yeah, and this is again where what is reality and what is performance. Right? Somebody once, like you said, sometimes you get feedback from subscribers or fans where they are questioning the validity of something. And I remember I had somebody really aggressively say to me, you say you're a sexy librarian, but we've never seen you in the library. So are you really a librarian? You know? And I was like, I think if anything, that should tell you more accurately that I really am a librarian because I can't risk that.
Exactly. Like you're keeping your two lives separate.
That's what should prove to you. That I'm real.
Yeah, we get that a lot too. Of like, oh well, your husband, we never see your husband and you having sex, and you're just out, you know. Well, you're a slut, you're a whore, you're this, you're that. You're just out fucking all these other dudes, and your husband does, you know, he's never getting it, and that could be the farthest thing from the truth. It's like, I need the help from the bulls because her sexual appetite is insane. You know, and it's literally, I need some help. It's literally that much.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of being on the camera, and every now and then we'll throw something in there, but it's not like, guys, I'm having a lot of it.
The amount of times I have to tell people he just doesn't like being filmed, even though we've said it on the podcast, I've said it like, he just doesn't want to be on camera. They're like, you never have sex with your husband, huh? Your poor husband. I'm like, oh, trust me. He gets his. Like, he is number one to me. Like, there is no competition, no question. So.
And that's where it's really important, like, especially if you're doing this as, like, because you love it, because you enjoy it, you know, other people, viewers, may want something different, but what's authentically you is this. You know, and that's something that I always want to really hold on to, like what's authentically me.
Exactly. What do I enjoy? What makes me me? And what are the boundaries I'm not willing to cross? And the work, you know, that is your place of work. And we have two identities for a reason. And once I'm ready for those to mesh together, you'll know. But for now, I enjoy being two people. I enjoy keeping it separate. I'll be the naughty teacher in my hot wife world and the really good, you know, straight laced teacher in my real world, because that's who I am.
Exactly.
I am both.
Yeah. You can be both. And that's what's really beautiful is that we are all much more multifaceted. You're not just one thing. You know, I'm a sexy librarian and I have fancy lingerie and I love wearing stockings and heels. But then, you know, then there are times when I am just in a t-shirt and a pair of shorts. And a pair of flip-flops. And it's not on brand at all. But
I think that doesn't cancel out all the other stuff. As society in general, really, especially these days, probably more so than any time in history, has there been a label placed on everything. You have to be this. And if you're not, then you're this.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it, I mean, when we talk about politics, like, well, hey, you're either left or you're right. And there's no one's in the middle, even though the reality is more people than anything are in the middle. But I mean, well, if you're a hot wife, you can't do this. And he has to be a cuck or a stag or this or whatever. And why can't we be a little bit of everything or a little bit of what we want to be?
Yeah.
I mean, we're humans, for goodness sake. Like, everyone's a little bit different, and we don't need labels on everything.
Exactly. And I think allowing for that, the variety and that nuance and that things that are difficult to categorize is really important is what makes us real people. You know, and real people do crazy things, go to sex clubs, you know, are hot wives, and that doesn't make them, you know, not morally good, not people who don't care for their fellow person, not people who can't nurture and be loving. You know, we don't need those dichotomies. Let's bust them up.
Yeah, let's be it all. And I pride myself on being all of it. I want to be all of it. I want to do everything and be good at every single aspect of it. So that's
exactly,
you know, we were talking actually before we came on air on why we started the podcast, and that was it. This is who I am in everyday life, and you can hear the naughty things, but I've also gotten on here and been very real about things because I am both people.
Yeah.
I'm a real person. I'm not a porn star by any means. You're just following my adventures in real life.
And even by that token, like, porn stars are real people too.
Exactly. Yes.
Right? That's getting into all these worlds, like, that there's that at the beginning, at the end of the day, people just, you know, brush their teeth and feed their kids or walk their dog or pay their bills and are real people.
Yeah, it's funny. As we're like recording this, one of my hot wife best friends, like, is sending me like real life pictures. We're joking, right? And she's like, what if I actually posted this one up? You know, and it's no makeup on and, you know, the gray hairs or the retainers in and anything. And it's like, what if I posted this one and broke the fantasy? But, you know, because that's us too. We're just normal people.
Yes, exactly. Okay.
So I would say maybe my last question too is, what is your favorite situation to be in? And usually Hot Soccer Daddy asks this question to everyone, and I kind of just stole it from him, but I'm very curious with you. Mm-hmm. Is your favorite like a swinging situation? Is it, you know, threesome with two women, two men? What is it that Sexy Librarian loves?
That's tough because it varies so much based on what I'm actually doing. I would say there's, or on my mood, or on what time of year it is.
What goose is flying the wrong direction?
What goose is flying in the wrong direction? Yeah. I love having a little show-off sex at a sex club. That is really, really, really fun for me. So whether it's with just the partner that I came with, or whether it's adding a new person, I do love being watched and, you know, going to a sex club and blowing everybody's mind is a really fun place for me. But then often I'll go home and then have really incredibly good sex with my partner at home. So those are things that go together often.
That sounds really hot because I've got an image in my head right now. I want to do that. I want to go to a sex club and just sit front and center and just watch you wherever you are with whoever and however many and just sit back.
Let's make it happen.
In the crowd and just have everyone else is watching you. And
you know I love semi-public sex.
Oh,
like,
I know you do.
I am an exhibitionist too. I like the fear of potentially getting caught. So I think I would thrive at a sex club.
Yeah. I have to say I love masturbating outside.
Really? Like in the sunshine.
It's tough. Yes. Yes. It's tough as a person who lives in a country that's cold most of the year.
Even the nylons aren't helping.
Even the nylons. You know, 20 below is 20 below or 40 below. Or
I can't even fathom that.
Cold is cold. Yeah, it's cold is cold. But I do like, you know, I really like masturbating outside.
That's hot.
There's something about the difference of being in the open air and feeling like sort of uncontained. And then there's a little bit of like, oh, what if someone saw me, you know, although I'm not trying to actively like, you know, get arrested or anything like that. I'm certainly careful.
that would mess with the real life a little bit too.
Oh, absolutely. It's even, and you know, your idea of what a fantasy is and it actually happening. I have this argument all the time with people about whether you actually want your fantasies to come true. Because some fantasies are
fantasies for a reason.
To actually happen. Some are fantasies for a reason, but you know, like I often, you know, talk about flashing or showing off, and I do. I like to flash and I like to show off. And I like to do that. But one time I was shooting, you know, in my home, and the UPS delivery man pulled into the driveway, and I'm like pretty much pressed against the window. And I don't think I've ever hit the ground so fast in my life.
You're like, no. Oh my gosh, we just did that the other day. We were talking about that on a previous podcast. We were in the garage working out and the Amazon guy drove by and my husband was like, flash him, flash him, flash him. And I like wanted to and I did it. I did do it. And he didn't look, thank God, because I probably would have like been mortified for a second. But like the idea of it is so hot. But then when it comes down to it, or like we'll go to a bar before a hot wife date and we'll start talking to people and they're like, oh, what are you up to tonight? I cannot tell you how bad I want to say like, we're going to a hotel so my husband can watch me fuck another man, but I cannot bring myself to do it. Like I'm right there and I'm like, I can't do it.
See, and this is why things like sex clubs or nude beaches are so great, because you can have that little like frisson of like excitement of, you know, people are watching me, but they have consented to watch you. Right. They're excited to watch you. You know, you're not hurting anyone.
You're not doing anything
it's
wrong
all good.
There. Like it's okay.
No, you're not going to get arrested.
Yeah, babe, we need to go to a sex club. That sounds so fun.
Yeah,
I'm in. Absolutely. Now for sure. I've got the fantasy.
Oh God,
on repeat in my head.
Last time you had a fantasy in your head, I became hot wife. Oh, so yeah, here we go.
Yeah, they have hot wife nights. They have, you know, some clubs have what they like a DTF night.
Oh.
So yeah, they're very interesting. Very interesting.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
We're so glad we got to have you. I will say, I mean, we've had a lot of people on here, a lot of very smart people. Let me preface it with that. But you are definitely eloquent and well-spoken and just on another level when it comes to that. So,
well, thank you.
You make me want to step up my vocabulary. I want to step up my vocabulary and, you know, bring the teacher into this conversation.
Nice. I can recommend some great books.
But thank you so much. We loved having you. In case our listeners don't follow your handles yet, would you like to throw out your link tree, any social media handles so they can find you and follow all your sexy content, see those sexy pantyhose?
Absolutely. Yes. I will definitely, will you put that like in your comments somewhere or should I
say
something?
Yeah, we'll put it in the
here?
Show notes, but you can say something. But yeah. Just say it and then we'll also add it into the show notes so they can just click on it. I'll make a hyperlink and then one-stop shopping.
Wonderful. And this is hilarious. I have to actually look at my phone.
I do too. Every time I'm like, I forget.
At Sexy Librarian, at Sexy Librarian XX.
Okay, at Sexy Librarian XX.
And that's on X, that's, or Twitter.
That's me on OnlyFans. And that's also me on X and Twitter, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. And then I think your link tree is Sexy Librarian. And that's
I believe so.
Without
the I have to double check, though.
It'll be in the show notes.
Yeah.
Good.
Our listeners know we always hook them up. Yeah. We make sure they have access to you after they listen to this so that they can go see all the hot stuff we've been talking about on here.
Yeah.
And she's an actual librarian, lovely. Which makes it 10 times hotter. I've been dying to ask this whole time. And it was like killing me. And I was like, I can't blow her cover. What if she's not? Like, you know, so... People get mad when they
You're
find
so
out
lovely.
people get mad when they find out, like, our kids don't really play soccer. I'm not really a soccer mom. Like, I'm a baseball mom, right, and I'm a different mom. But, like, right, like, oh, your kids don't even play soccer.
I mean, they used to.
Yeah, so it qualifies.
It doesn't have the same ring it to it. Baseball have the same moms ring. Sounds yeah. good as soccer mom. Right. Right?
No one yeah. says anything about, oh, yeah, the baseball mom, the basketball mom, the...
You it's know, always the soccer mom soccer that's mom. The dirty one. It just works yeah. for
that's
me.
Right.
The stickers on the back of well, the minivans like never to, say baseball mom.
That's right. I would like to add that this is, you have popped my podcast cherry. I've never been on a podcast before. So
just stealing virginities left and right over here.
You're yeah, my first virgin. Right, no. Right.
You were so gentle with me, and I loved it.
I like to come in soft. No, we love having you here. Glad we can, you popped our international cherry. So you are our first Woo-hoo! International guest. So we're each other's first. Look at that. That's beautiful.
Love having first. It is beautiful.
Well, thank you all right, so well, much.
You're welcome. I was lovely to be here. Let's stay in touch.
Yeah. Oh, we will, girl, for sure.
We'll do. It was a lot of fun. Excellent. We'll chat later.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
All right. You guys heard from Sexy Librarian, who is actually a librarian. I really have wanted to ask her the second she got on. So that was some restraint from my part to wait as long as I did. But she is a real librarian. She is beautiful. If you are not following her, her stuff is very classy looking. She makes me want to not be ratchet, dirty baby mama, but you know, that's who I am. And my soul.
See, now if they try, like if you try to be all classy and everything else, they're going to be like, oh, you're not authentic. And
I know.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you have to tell me about that message. I didn't even
know
we got
that. It's okay to try different things.
You know, it is what it is. But thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed getting to know Sexy Librarian. I know I did our first international interview, which that's really cool.
Yeah, I think next up. So that's just our neighbors to the north. So we got to go overseas now. Yeah. We got to venture over the puddles.
Expand even more.
Yep.
Well, Summer Stars. Puddles,
she's from the UK, but yeah. she's been out here for a little while.
I know.
I'll give her a 0.5 on that one.
A halfie. Okay.
Yes.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed that as much as we did. And I think that's all we have for you today.
That's it. I think that was plenty.
Yeah.
That was good.
Thanks for listening. As always, keep fucking.